Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We're going to look, as we always do, at the readings for today, but I want to say two things first. One is practical. I encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. You can access many, many things. Our website has improved and improved and improved, and you really can access our television programs, our radio programs. You can find so many books and CDs and DVDs, etc., etc., booklets. All of those are available on our website. And I keep mentioning this because sometimes when you listen to the program, God will touch your heart with something and you'll say, oh, I need to change in that area, or I need to grow in that area. And then you're, where do I get help? What should I do? The first thing I would recommend to you is that you go to our website and see what's there and see what might apply to the circumstances that you find yourself in. I just want to encourage you, please be active, because the more active you are, the more you keep the enemy at bay. The more active you are and you seek the Lord and you want to follow the Lord, you don't just have some vague desire, but you really put your heart, mind, and strength behind it, it's going to be very fruitful for your life. And I just want to encourage you, renewalministries.net. The second thing I want to say is today is the feast of Padre Pio. And for many of us, he was born in 1887 in Italy, and a lot of us have grown up hearing about Padre Pio. Was a household name because he was so well known over all the world for his sanctity, his holiness. He carried the stigmata in his hands. He was a man who was marvelous in confession. He could really read souls. And I know of several men who in World War II, when they were on leave of some kind, would seek him out to go to confession to him. And it's what strengthened them for the horrible years of World War II, to say nothing of many, many, many miracles. So if you're not familiar with Padre Pio, just Google Padre Pio, and you'll find almost every book and article either written by him or about him. You can access a lot of information. He's a marvelous, marvelous holy man. The opening prayer for today is, Almighty ever-living God, who by a singular grace gave the priest St. Pius, that's his real name, St. Pius, but he's known as Padre Pio, gave the priest St. Pius a share in the cross of your Son, and by means of his ministry renewed the wonders of your mercy. Grant that through his intercession we may be united constantly to the sufferings of Christ, and so be brought happily to the glory of the resurrection. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me. And he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Therefore, whoever among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. Let everyone who has survived in whatever place he may have dwelt be assisted by the people of that place with silver, gold, goods, and cattle, together with freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone, that is, whom God had inspired to do so, prepared to go up to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors gave them help in every way with silver, gold, goods, and cattle, and with many precious gifts besides all their freewill offerings. Two comments I want to make about this reading. First of all, Help to build the house of the Lord in your area. If the house of the Lord needs to be refurbished or built up, or your church needs to be renovated or improved in some way, do it. If you have the means to do it, do it. That the house of the Lord may be honored, that it might not be look like a relic out of the past, but that it might be fresh and vibrant. Do whatever you can to serve the house of the Lord. But more significantly and much more deeply, look at your own house, you in whom the Lord dwells. Your life, your holiness, will build the house of the Lord in the hearts of your parish if you turn back to the Lord in a deeper way, if you repent of sin in a particular way in which you need to, if you move off one path and onto another. Not only is your life more in the light, that is, in the light of God, and therefore you reflect his presence. This is true spiritually. You reflect his presence insofar as your life is in order. You are repenting of sin. Even if you're falling at times and making mistakes, that doesn't stop it. It's just getting up again and pursuing the same path. As you live your life of holiness, that affects the lives of others in your parish. You don't have to say anything. The whole temperature changes. The atmosphere changes because there is holiness of life present. And you help to rebuild the house of the Lord in your geographic area. We can have beautiful churches and no one whose heart is really alive to the Lord. We can worship God in the smallest and the simplest of buildings, perhaps very poor. But if we're rich in the Lord and in his presence, if we're following him, if we're really seeking to be his disciple in thought and word and action, that changes the environment. So all of us are called to build the house of the Lord or rebuild the house of the Lord. We need to start with ourselves, both spiritually, primarily spiritually, but also materially, if we can. Psalm 126, the Lord has done marvels for us. He has. The Lord has done marvels for us. He created us. He saved us. He prepares a place for us. We are going to inherit, brothers and sisters, big time. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I thought I was going to get something from that inheritance and I didn't get anything, or people are fighting over inheritances, whatever. No, you have an inheritance that's beyond price waiting for you. You are an heir of the kingdom of God. What a marvel God has done for us. What God has given us. That's true, that's more true than the material wealth that can slip away or be destroyed. This is eternal wealth. Think about it. You are a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. Therefore, you are an heir to the kingdom of God. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed." That'd be stupid, right? "Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." What are you rich in, brothers and sisters? Are you rich in the kingdom of God? Or are you rich in this world's goods? Where do you put your time, your attention, your energy? Where do your thoughts go when they're unoccupied by something else? Where do your thoughts go? Are your thoughts, your words, and your actions based on the real riches, the real treasure of the kingdom of God? Or have you settled for some riches of this world, which unless they're given away generously, serve no one but yourself? Scripture says here, take care then how you hear. To one who has, more will be given. If you are rich in the values and the priorities and the virtues of the kingdom of God, you will receive more. But if you have paid no attention to acquiring the wealth of the kingdom of God, but only that of the kingdom of this world, even what you seem to have will be taken from you. It may be at the moment of death, but it will be taken from you. It will not last forever. Are you building? Are you saving? Are you laboring for the kingdom that is to come? Or for the kingdom of this world? Brothers and sisters, all of us, each and every one of us, has the potential to be very, very wealthy in what the kingdom of God values: justice, peace, joy, faith, hope, love. We can be very rich in the kingdom of God if we make that our priority. And we can make that our priority while we labor and serve and live in this world. We can still make the priority those things of the kingdom that will last forever. Where are your sights set? There was a saint who said, and I love this, I go back to it all the time, what is this? Whatever the this is, this situation, this circumstance, this offer, this raise, this, I don't know, whatever life offers. What is this, he would say, in light of eternity? You're offered something, you gain something, you achieve something. Before you revel in it, and you can enjoy it if it's honestly gotten, an award, an honor, a raise in pay, you can rejoice in it. Absolutely. But you also ought to say, what is this in light of eternity? What is this worth? What value does this have in light of eternity? And that determines what you do with it. See, this is what we need to have, is that eternal perspective, looking down the road so that everything that comes to us, good and bad, we can look at in light of eternity and benefit from it. It takes faith, but I guarantee you, if you begin to look at life that way, what is this, whatever it is, good or bad, what is this in light of eternity? When you look at it that way, you will gain wisdom from God, you will gain insight, you will be much more joyful and much more hopeful, even when difficult things come, because you have an eternal perspective. God wants to give that to us. May we ask Him for it and live it. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.